Okay. Well, this is Chris McHenry, and this is the 21st of June, 1982, and we're talking to Paul Vinson of Lawrenceburg. Have you always lived in Lawrenceburg?
Yeah, all my life.
All your life?
All my life, yes.
Always downtown?
Just about all my life downtown here.
Okay, how old are you?
I was 71.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you were definitely grown up and aware.
I was born and raised on Canal Road.
On Canal Road?
Which is presently the, what's underneath the flood wall now.
Oh,
my residence was underneath the flood wall.
Well, before they built this levee, there was...
We had a small levee around, just the railroad tracks, and then a mound of earth about 6 feet, oh, maybe about 4 or 5 feet above the railroad tracks, and that was supposed
that
to keep about 60 some feet of water.
Well, when the weather first started getting bad,
well, that was
year.
Well. It's rained. It seemed like it rained constantly for a week or more before, and then on what we called Black Sunday, it just poured down. Well, Monday, my experience with the flood started on Monday after the Sunday, and I got up in the morning. I was living on West Center Street. I got up in the morning, and I thought, well, I better go and see what the river looks like. So I go up to the end of Walnut Street, and there was the river. By level with me. I thought, oh my goodness, and it's going to come in here as sure as the world. And so I went down Walnut Street, and my sister and brother-in-law had an electric shop there on Walnut Street, and I said, hey.
What was their names?
Knoppert, Joe and Flo Knoppert.
Was Joe your brother?
Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, do you people realize what the situation is? No, what is it? I said, well, if they don't sandbag or do something for the water's going to be running right down Walnut Street. So he said, well, I'll go up and take a look. Well, they did. And that's when we realized what was going to happen. It was raising at the rate of, I don't know, 8 inches or 9 inches an hour and better. And I went on over to the store, which was at 3rd and Front Street, which is now Eads Parkway, and I opened up for business.
Is the building still there?
No, it's tore down. See, that's where the building and loan has their parking area there.
Okay.
Well, all that day, raining, and People's Coal Company had volunteered their coal trucks, and they were hauling people's furniture, overstuffed furniture and all that, out in the rain, just taking it, I don't know where, but to Greendale, I suppose. And it went on like that all day long, and business was really good. Everybody was buying groceries and bringing them back over here in town and going up in the second floor, and they were going to stay there. They were going to live there, see?
Now that's what they'd always done before.
Yes, that's what they'd always done. Well,
had you been through other floods?
No. I was born in 1911, and the 1913 flood, see, I was just 2 years old. I didn't recall anything about that. Well, anyway, it was just a continuous stream of vehicles taking furniture and things to Greendale. So I just couldn't get away from the store. No way, because the people were just coming in just buying groceries, you know, right and left. So in the meantime, we'd call my mother-in-law, and she came up and got my family and took them to Aurora with her. So all that day, it was just panic, you know. Everything was just an uproar. Well, I stayed at the store till I guess it must have been about 8 o'clock. I just couldn't get the door locked. And finally, my brother-in-law, Frank Knoppert, came, and he said, Paul, he said, I've got a truck out here. He said, we better go and try to get your refrigerator and your electric stove out, you see. So I said, okay. I said, but you'll have to stand at the door and keep the people out till I can get them, get what's in there, wait it on, get them out, and get going. So we did, and we got my electric stove and my refrigerator, and we took it to Greendale. We took the furniture from the first floor and stored it up in the second floor. And so then I went back to the store, and he took it on to Greendale. I went back to the store and stayed there till about, it was about midnight, and the fire bell started ringing up at the firehouse there on 3rd Street.
They had a bell then?
And they had a bell, and they said that I was at the cafe right next, SB Bruce Cafe right next door. And so they said, well, our levees broke. So we didn't, it kind of struck us, you know, and I stayed there for about, I guess a half an hour. So I thought, well, I'll just walk down to Water Street, down 3rd Street to Water Street, and see what's, if the pond's filled up with water yet, you know, which we call that where the playground area is. So I gets down there, and it's just level full. That pond hole, that was just level full. All the way up to Water Street. I stayed there for a few minutes, and then I started seeing shacks and, you know, small buildings coming over, and they just tumble over and over and over and down over.
They were coming from Center
Street? Coming from all this area over in here, you see.
The bottom. Where did the levee break?
It broke right down by the A Street, right down here.
Okay, at the end of Center
Street?
Yeah,
mm-hmm, right down in that area, right in there.
Okay.
So I watched these buildings just crash over this thing, and right where the Gulf Station is now, that's where it was going over. And
Was the highway, had it been filled as high then?
Yeah, it was that same level.
It was, and what, the water was going over the
highway? Just like falls, you know, it was just going from this side over to that other side, see, and filling that area up over in there then, see. And the stoplight was going on and off there at the Catholic Church car, and it was really a weird looking sight. So I went back up to the store, and I thought, well, now there ain't no way I can do anything here tonight. I'm going to have to go home. I had a sister living in Greendale on Ludlow Street, and I thought, well, we'll go out there and stay all night, and then I'll come down in the morning and open up for business. So about 5 o'clock in the morning, a young fellow that worked for me, he came out, Jimmy Scooper, I was in there. He came out and he said, Paul, he said, the water is up to the door now. He said, you better get down there. So this was 5 o'clock in the morning. So I started, I said, got ready and come on down. Well, they had to, couldn't get down through because the water was all there at Main Street and 4th, all covered in that area. And it was, we had to walk the railroad track from Seagram's down. The water was right up in the cross ties right underneath it. So we got in there.
It was still dark.
No, it was getting daylight. And anyway, we got to the, down to the store, and it was a weird sight. The water was up to my knees in front of the store. It was in the store, so I opened the door, put the key in the lock, and opened it up, and that's really a weird feeling. And I went in, and the first thing I noticed was the safe, and I knew all my cartons of cigarettes were stored in the bottom of that safe. I thought, oh, they're gone. And so then I come out, and I went up to the exchange, the telephone exchange. It was there on Main Street, and I tried to get a hold of the company.
Where it wasn't where it is now, then?
It's, you know, right in that area somewhere there.
Was it underwater?
No. We were able to get to it, but see, that was higher than where I was down. See, the,
yeah, I guess it is.
Yes,
isn't it?
That's a high point right in there. Well, anyway, I couldn't get a hold of anybody. So I went back, and I thought, well, there ain't no way. Let's let this stuff go to waste. So I just threw the doors open, then let the people come in, whoever was in the area. Well, let the word spread, and it wasn't long till they had a 3C program going at that time, and they were in the area doing something. I don't know what they were doing. Anyway, they came down with a skiff, and they loaded up. I had, I guess about 50 bags of flour in the back room, and they loaded up what was dry, you know, that was up on some, and they hauled that away, plus some other stuff, and they took it up to the firehouse, and then they distributed it from there to people who wanted the flour. But anyway, I let all the groceries take them, carry them out of there, you know. Didn't know what was going to come of it, you know. I didn't know how the company would feel, but I never, there never was a word said anything. And out of the water, one man who was an old river man around, he said, Paul, he said, in the 13th flood, he said, the water was just in the gutter here outside the door. I said, well, Mr. Cunningham, I said, look where it's at now. It's 3 feet in the store. he said, well, he said, I don't think it's going to get any higher. But the truth of the matter was that the store ceiling was about 12 feet tall, and it got in there so deep that mice floated around on objects and chewed the wallpaper off the ceiling, and that's how deep it was.
What happened to your house?
Well, after it all went, the water went down, receded, I went down and just had to toss my furniture out the upstairs when it was just all gone.
But your house made it through.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I was just renting at that time.
But a lot of those houses down there didn't.
Yeah, it was a brick home, and it's still standing.
It is. Which house is it?
Well, I was going to try to get that address. It's right off of Mary Street.
Okay, it's closer in towards the middle of town.
Yeah,
it's not
right,
way down.
No, it's right here at the end of Mary and Center, about one house off the corner. Oh. What is that goes down? Cook. Is it Cook?
Yeah.
About one house off of Cook.
How in the world did people manage to start over? Was everything?
Well, my name being beginning with V, I came way last on the,
They did it alphabetically?
Yeah, alphabetically. And I had 5 rooms of furniture. I lost everything. And they gave me $520-some, I believe, to replace all that furniture. And there wasn't no way I could do that, so I had to go back in debt to get it.
You were just getting started. Did you have any kids?
We had 5.
Oh, my.
We had 5 at the time.
But you had a place to stay.
And them were staying at her folks in Aurora, and I was staying in Greendale until last Sunday after the water levee broke. Then I can't think who he was. He rode me across the end of Probasco Street there to Ludlow Hill, and I walked up the bank to 48, and I went out 48 to 148 and down into Aurora. And as I was getting there, where the bend goes into Aurora state militia or whatever you want to call them were there, and they stopped me and said, you can't go in. Nobody's allowed to enter. There's quarantine. Oh, and so I said, well, now look, my family's in there. I haven't seen them for a week.
And the water was still up a week later?
My goodness, yes. Well, anyway, I said, there's just this one thing about it. I said, I'll just go back up the road and go up over the hill and come around you and go down anyway. And they said, he said, go ahead and go on in.
Were they were up on enough of a hillside?
Oh, yeah, they were at 410 Park Avenue. Up near the park, and they were up out of the water. No, it didn't get that high. So that's.
Well, then people in town really didn't expect that this was going to happen until the very last.
No, there were people that were. I remember the family by the name of Brock. He lived in the Spanigal building. He and his wife and 2 children. They thought they was going to sweat it out, see. So the next morning, they got up. He awoke, and when he went to get out of bed, he put his feet in water.
You mean people slept through the levee breaking?
Right, yes.
Well, I'd always heard that they rang all the church bells and everything and tried to
Well, they did, but, everybody just... They were going on past history, that the water, got so high in such and such a year, and that was it. Well, they didn't stop to realize the water was already higher than that to begin with,
Where was the Spanical building?
Right here at the corners of Center and Walnut, where that exercise, where Peggy's... Well, we had an A&P store in there, too, at the time.
There were 2 A&P
stores
in town?
Yes, 2 A&P stores in town, yeah.
I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. What was Walnut Street like?
Well,
do you think, starting like at Walnut Street, what was on the street?
Oh, well, there was.
I don't mean starting at. Well, I mean starting at High Street, coming down Walnut.
Well, there was Gordon's on the corner, and then there next to Gordon's, where Laurie's is now, was the CLNA Freight Depot.
Was the CLNA still running then?
That. Let's see, were they still running?
I mean the cars, not the freight coming.
Incidentally, I rode the last car out of Aurora that time.
Did you really?
Yeah. It went off the track at there at the high, where the high school is now.
It went off the track.
Yeah,
the last car.
And I had to, then I hitchhiked to Lawrenceburg. I was working for AMP at the time, and when I was working in Aurora, I was a clerk at that time. I wasn't a manager at that time.
You've always
now that was in 1933, I believe, when that happened.
You worked for AMP your whole life.
Just well, yeah. Well, I worked for Kroger before that.
For who?
Kroger, the
oh,
other
Kroger?
Unmentionable.
Oh, we won't say that.
I started in when I was 14, working part time.
Well, what I seem to recall somebody telling me one time that the CLNA, there was like a turntable up here.
No, it just went in and then they switched the trolley thing and then they went.
Oh, they
back
just switched
out.
The trolley. They
yeah.
didn't turn the thing.
They
on.
Didn't. No, no, there was no way.
Where
it
did it end? Just right in the
ended
middle of the street.
Ended right there at the corner of High and Walnut, right there in the street, not out in the intersection, but right there at the where the crosswalk is now, going from across there. That's where it ended. And then they would get out and switch the trolley thing, you know, and then take off again.
I interrupted you. What came after the CLNA office? Coming
what
down?
Came after that? Well, then there was the, let's see, it was a bank. I believe the, they called it the, Mr. Hasmer was the, but they called it the German Bank, I believe.
It was the American State
Bank. Yeah, which is the American State Bank now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That would have been.
Then up the street from that was Kastner's Variety Store or whatever, and then Frankel's, of course. There, mm-hmm. been there.
They've
all
been here forever, haven't they?
Then on the corner was Harris's Ready to Wear place. There where the Indiana Office Supply is now, and then across there was a vacant lot. And which were the EMP, finally, where the Southern Dollar is now. And then Wilson had a tire shop right next there where Lehner's law offices, or no, I guess maybe they took that building. But anyway, there was he had a tire shop in there. Russ Wilson's daddy. And then the Fall Scrubs had a shoe store next there. Grammer had a restaurant in there, and then on up a little farther was the coal office, and they had their scale in the alley. What's the alley, you know? They had their scale where they weighed the coal.
That's all in where, what? Was that?
That's where Perpetual's got now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was all originally all one big deal.
Yeah.
Well, it was when I came to town, even. It was all run by the same people.
Yeah, right. Well, that's about... That's a.
Do you remember any of the people that lived on houseboats?
A family by the name of Wells. That's the only one I and then Harry Shardine and his family lived on.
Is he still living?
Harry?
Yeah.
As far as I know, he is.
Is he still around?
I think he's up around in the
Bright
area.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. I haven't seen him for years. I haven't seen him for years.
Did you ever get to go on any of those boats?
No. I never did. I could have, because they were really good friends of mine. And in fact, the Wellses were building a boat that they were going to go down the Ohio, down the river in. I don't recall whether they ever made that trip or not.
Do you know which Wellses that would be? There's several of them.
Well, it was Kenny Wells. Kenny married, I think Kenny's dead. And what was the other boy's name? There was two boys. But they was building this boat, and they were going to go down the Ohio River to. But they was living in a houseboat at the time. But they were building this boat on the side to see to take this trip.
Did people fish?
Oh yeah.
Commercially at that time.
Yeah, at that time, yes, there was quite a few of them.
Where did they sell their fish?
A lot of a fellow by the name of Colonel Feaster.
Would that be Jimmy and Eddie's?
Well, I guess he would be a great uncle of theirs. And he smoked fish at that time. Smoked it, you know.
What, right down on the river?
Yeah, right down there on the river.
It sounds like it would have been more fun to be in Lawrenceburg than in Lewisburg.
Oh, yes. Like I said, I just met a young girl. Alice and I went down to the camp on the Opry. And on the way down, we saw this girl walking towards France or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, what is she doing on this lonely road, you know, by herself? So we went on up to camp, and there was nobody there. They'd gone frog gigging. So I went down the creek to check it, see how it was, and on the way back, it must take about 15 minutes on the way back, we met her again. She was still walking, so we picked her up and wanted to know if she wanted to go to Lawrence. She said, well, she said, yes. She said, but I really want to go to Lawrenceburg. So I said, well, we're going to Lawrenceburg. I said, but we have to stop off at Ulrich's in Aurora. She said, I have to get a pack of cigarettes, so I'll go in. So we brought her in here, coming to find out her name was Alice, and her father was a boyhood friend of mine that we played together out here on Canal Road. And I said, there was maybe 20 kids would congregate under the streetlight there on the corner of Euphemia and Canal Road and play games, you know. Be about 20 of us, boys and girls.
What kind of games?
They call it run, sheep, you run back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I said, you could have searched the whole 20 kids, and I don't think you could come up with 50 cents in amongst the whole 20 of them. I said, but we had a lot of fun. We never had any money, but we had a lot of fun.
Was that before the Depression?
Yeah, that was in 24, 23, somewhere around in there.
Tell me about some of the games you played.
That's the only one.
Because kids play different games today. They've never heard of games.
That's the one. Then we just. Maybe,
how did you play?
Maybe one game was all we could get done. We'd choose up, you know, the sides, and then they'd go hide and shoot. They'd be maybe hiding clear up in the bottoms or wherever, you know.
How did you play it? I
really don't.
Almost forgotten
it's
how we played.
It's just more or less. I don't know how we did it. I really don't recall how in the Dickens the game wound up. But anyway, we had fun anyway. Just looking for different ones. Going up through them stubble fields barefooted, you know.
What was the fairgrounds like when it was over here?
In the old fairgrounds. Oh, yeah. That was it was small, but they had really had good fairs back in those days.
Well, what did they have that was different? Of course, we don't have any.
Well, they didn't have the sophisticated rides they have now. They had the merry-go-round, the Ferris wheel, and maybe possibly the whip, I think, was one. Maybe that would be just about three rides like that. That was it.
People had more fun, I think, though. Nevertheless.
Yeah. Well, it was more of a, you know, family.
Oh, somebody mentioned that there might have been somebody named Settler that lived on a boat. Butch Settler.
Oh, yeah, Butch Settler. Oh, yes, he was the, yeah.
Is he still with him?
No, he's been dead for years and years.
Is anybody in his family around that
remember? Bill Settler, the Greendale flower shop, he's a relative. I think Butch was his uncle. Yeah.
I don't know why we're so fascinated with this, other than that there's nobody anymore that lives that way, and mm-hmm. we thought that ought to be remembered somehow.
Yeah.
But that was a way of life.
Oh, yeah.
There were several of them then in the area at one time.
Yeah, I tell you, when I was a kid, I was forbidden to go to the river, you know what
I
mean?
Sure.
That was the only place to swim, and of course you had the boys who lived out in this end of town. They were what we call river rats. They started swimming when they were just knee-high to the... Of course, their parents didn't let them go. You know, they just let them go.
Would that include Charlie Smith?
Sneak away, Charlie Smith. All the Feaster boys.
Okay. Well, Charlie told me he grew up on High Street. That's why I wondered if
Charlie
he
Charlie Smith.
You know Charlie Smith. Married Louise Dietrich.
Oh, yeah, Charles, yeah. Yes, you just... And they would, but I never was allowed to go home safe.
Well, it wasn't safe.
No, it wasn't. It was all, it was
Kids were always
dangerous.
Drowning.
But they would attempt a lot of some of them would attempt to swim the river at times to see if the river would get way low, way low. Mm-hmm. But in fact, the matter is that up there where the Miami River comes into the Ohio, there's times during the summertime that they could wade it.
The Ohio?
Yeah. It'd be up to chin deep, but they could make it across. There at the mountain, then they'd have to dredge it out, you know, for so that boats could get through.
I'm trying to think of something else to ask you about the big flood. Well, evidently, though, I'd always figured the people in town were kind of getting edgy and worried about it, but they weren't, were they?
Well, they, it seemed like it, well, all day long I was waiting on people and I knew lived over in town. Where are you going with these girls? We're coming back over here and get up in the upper,
They
were more or less, they were acting like it was going to be a lark, you know.
Well, you know, I found a real early reference to Lawrenceburg from somebody that had traveled through here. Like in the 1830s,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about that. They said the river comes up, and of course, then there was no levee, you know, and covers the town, and the mm-hmm. people go around in their skiffs and canoes and have parties. They have a good time. So, I guess that's the way it had always been up until this one. Well, there were people that just plain refused up until the very last minute to leave, weren't there?
There were people in the courthouse, you know, they went up in
yeah, tell me about that. John Fox told me once, and of course
I really
he's
don't
gone
know
now.
That much about it, because like I say, that was completely out of my area at that time, but I heard about it. They had to get them out of there also.
Somebody said they actually rode their boats right through the doors of the courthouse.
Well, I guess they would have windows probably up in the second floor. It was I tell you.
How long did it take you to clean the mud and the junk out of your house?
Gosh, it was fierce.
Now
the water stayed up a long time. I don't recall just exactly how long, but it seemed to me like it was a better part of 2 weeks.
Mm.
It stayed up, you know.
What were you doing all that time? You just had to stay out there and
clean down? I went over to Roar and was stayed with my folks, and then once. And kept checking to see if they could get in the store, and then finally, when the water did get down, then I got in there and
you had
opened
to clean
it up.
That out
cleaned
too.
That up. And,
was there anything left for you to sell?
Oh no, everything is was condemned. It was just no good.
Canned goods
and meat in the meat case and everything had to be thrown, tossed.
Good.
Oh yeah, it was fierce.
Where did you get water from then to clean it?
Gosh, I don't recall. I guess we had water. I don't remember. But the floor had all buckled up, you know, and they had to take the boards up and let, you know, then keep a fire going in the, we had a potbelly stove in the store. Had to keep that fired up to try to dry it out, you see.
Well, it was still cold, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was in January.
There was snow.
I think that Sunday that they call Black Sunday was January the 21st, I think it was, or else that's the day that the flood, or the levee broke, one or the other.
The levee broke on Monday.
Yeah.
After it had
Monday,
rained all winter.
Right. Monday night, about, it's midnight or a little shortly after.
How did it happen and nobody got killed?
It's remarkable. The one old man was the only casualty. And he would have... If he would have listened to people, he would have never lost his life.
He was
last seen right over here where Nichols Laundry, Matt, is right now. Right in there, he's last seen there. And after the water went down there, when he searched for him, what happened? He was right around there. And you know where Charlie Whitaker lives there?
Hmm.
Well, you know where the Catholic Church parking lot is here on Short Street?
Yeah.
There's where he was in, underneath some debris there. That's where they found him.
The water just washed the house and all?
Well, he was walking on the street.
Walking.
Yeah. And there's where they found him. He just,
after the levee broke, he was walking?
Yeah. But he was just told that they were warned to get out of town. You know, and I guess he got, he thought he could make it. And
who was it?
They called him Dad Powell. I don't recall whose father he was. But I think he was Not the John Powell of Barber, but John, there's another John Powell lived here in town. He just died recently. His daughter is Patsy. She was up here on High Street. Name escapes me right now.
Yeah. Well, the other end, the far end of Center Street, was just almost totally destroyed.
Well, not so much.
No.
Mostly, it just looked like it just. I guess the ones, the houses that weren't too permanently, fastened, were the ones that just raised up. Took off, you know.
Oh, there weren't any of them that were swept away by the water. Then. No. It was more of a gradual.
More
sort of
gradual.
Because I've seen pictures, and it looks gotten pushed and
tumbled over. Like when I said when this pond filled up, mm-hmm. That was a sight I couldn't believe my eyes, and it was just calm. You know what I mean? It was no. Then all of a sudden, it got high enough. It started going over that.
I guess then it pulled it through rather than pushing through from the left.
That's when all these outhouses and things that were afloat, that's when they started just going over and over. That was a sight to see there.
Who was the guy that got trapped on his roof over here on Canal Street someplace?
Oh, that was Lee Corns.
Yeah.
Lee Corns, yeah. That was a neighbor of ours.
Yeah. Him and his cat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, my dad, he always looked ahead. Now, he owned a piece of property. He bought a piece of property in Greendale where the firehouse is now. He owned that property there. And there was a huge barn on the back of that property. And he had bought that in case of a flood. So there's where our cattle, everything went in there. And they asked Mr. Corns if he would like to have it. And he said, no, he says, we'll be all right, he said, in England.
Your dad got his stuff moved out in time.
He got his all moved
out.
He
was still living over there on the house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, where did that road go? This is off the subject, but I've often wondered, because with the levee, it's kind of hard to picture how things work.
Well, it,
that was
you know
the
where Canal Street is. You know where Mildred Fox lived? No, it, at the corner of Euphemia and Canal.
Well, I know where Canal is.
Yeah. Well, you go right past that brick house, that gray brick house there, and that road went right straight through there. And if you ever get over in a trailer park, you'll see blacktop on the other side of the flood wall where it continued on. That's where our house was. We had a big cattle barn and horse barn and a big home. And that's where I was born and raised. And it's right underneath the flood wall where our property was. And where the trailer court is now, that's where Mr. Corns lived. Foxes still live on the other side of it. And our house, they took our property right in between them, see?
Well, you had a farm then.
Oh, well, I had 7 acres there. But my father farmed up in the bottoms up in there, see?
Well, that was the road to Hardentown then,
yeah,
actually, because the highway wasn't built
yet
then.
And the highway as it is right now would have been the same.
Oh, it's pretty much on the
same location
until it gets up here to the flood.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize there had been a road. I always thought you had to go out through the bottom.
If you would, you know where you turn in there to go to the trailer park?
Yeah.
Well, that would have been right straight shoot there. Would have been right on up to Hardentown. It's a gravel road.
Somehow I always thought you had to go out through the bottoms to get to Hardentown before they
went
built
right
the
straight up, followed the levee, and it was just the canal in between the levee and the.
You don't remember anything about the canal,
no,
that's for sure.
No, that was gone before.
Long before.
But the thing was there. The canal was there. Between the road and the railroad track. You can see part of it still out there now.
I've often wondered whether that was it.
That's
or
where it went.
They
went straight through there, and they went down the Ohio River where they call the Tumbles, and that's where it emptied into the Ohio River. That was the old Erie Canal, I guess they called it.
No, it was the Whitewater.
Whitewater Canal, that's right. That's right, Whitewater.
Where did it go when it got up as far as I've never figured out where it went, how it tied into the Whitewater River. Do you know?
Well, it goes up to Metamora. That's part of it.
Yeah, you know? I know where it is.
But
up
I don't
there,
know how it got
and I know how
that.
It ends. But where does it go
know,
in between?
I don't know how it got through there. In that.
I've often wondered. You know, I know it was up yeah. around Harrison, but how uh-huh. it got from between here and Harrison, I've never really known.
I don't remember.
Well, do you remember Hardintown when it was a nice? You do.
Oh, sure,
nice
sure. We had. There was lots of nice people lived up there.
And
they
nice
had
houses.
A nice... We used to go up there as kids. We'd go up there and challenge them to ball games. Game, you know, those boys up there.
Were they all Hazes?
Oh, no, they were Barrels and Fitzpatrick's and... what was the other family? There was quite a few of those boys. Shucks. Barrows was with the one family. Vetters.
Oh, Juanita.
Yeah,
Juanita's
her
parents.
Her father and them, they all lived up in there.
Oh. Well, I remember when I first...
And Carters, you know...
Carter
well,
or...
Well, Mrs. Cummins, she
Carter.
Was... Yeah, her name was Carter to begin with, but she was one... They lived up there.
That's... Buddy Carter's.
Well, Buddy Carter's folks lived there, yeah.
Yeah.
Buddy Carter and his two his sisters. Dorothy Cummins. Mm-hmm. You know Dorothy, don't you? And then the sister that just died here a couple of years ago.
I don't know who that is.
She married to Joe Stegemiller. Mm.
But they had some.
But there was some nice homes up there. Really
I remember
nice.
A couple of really nice big brick houses.
Yeah,
they're
they
not
were
there
nice.
Now.
No, no, that's all out of there. Carter's home, it was more or less to the back this way towards the what we call the old bed, and it was a nice home. It was a lot of
the
nice
old river
homes
bed.
In there. Yeah,
it's where the Miami River used
and,
to be.
And we were nice, really, really nice up there.
Something about the flood that I'll think of after I left. I can't get over the fact that people were just calmly allowing all
yeah,
this.
Yeah, they
to
did. They were buying, like I was telling you, they were buying groceries and bringing them back over in town was going to just, you know, sweat
well,
it out.
Well, of course, it never had been that high.
No, that's just it. See, and everybody kept going. Like the old timers would say, they go refer back to the 1913 flood. Like the old man, the man told me. He said, "Well, Paul," he said, "it was only in the gutter here in 19,000." Well, Joe, look, it's 3 feet above that right now.
What happened to some of the other businesses?
Well,
you were part of a large chain,
yeah.
So that there was money behind to keep getting
you
restocked.
As far as I remember, there wasn't any businesses that you know the buildings went out or anything that I can recall.
Well, most of them were.
The only one I do know that went out of there was a building there at the corner of 4th and Main. It was a concrete block building, and a man, I can't think what his name was, had a grocery store in there, and that thing just disintegrated. It just wood.
Well,
now, do you remember when they had the tunnel or the tunnel underneath the railroad track there on 4th Street that went down to
no,
the...
No, it was 1950 before I
oh,
moved
well,
here.
Then, yeah. Well, see, there was a road that, street, 4th Street went up and went underneath the...
Yeah.
The railroad tracks there, and come out there at the end of the bridge, it went to Aurora. And,
well, of course, the cemetery was...
Yes, the old cemetery is right off to the right there as you're headed that way. And my father-in-law had an oil distributorship. The Indian Oil Refinery office was right there as you went on the right as you went through the tunnel.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I remember the old ice house down there. That's not been too long ago.
It's still there.
Are you sure?
Yeah, the ice house there on 4th Street?
Yeah, I thought they tore that down.
No, it's still there. At least it was a week or so ago.
Okay, well, I was thinking it had disappeared 5 or 10 years ago.
No, it's still there. I don't know what they'll ever do with it.
Well, Well, when they had the flood, though, people, there were a lot of people that were still using ice boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what happens, like, when the electric went out? Or surely they didn't keep the electric on in town.
You know, it went to lanterns and everything else, and the lamps. And.
But nobody actually did tough it out downtown, did they?
No.
They finally did make everything.
They finally chased them out. They made them get out, you see, because... Well, it just was too much of a bother for them to just go and keep rescuing.
Who did the rescue?
Let's see. Was it the state? State militia? I don't know. You have to check with somebody. It was, I know the Mr. Bruce, Esby Bruce, put all his liquor in his upstairs over there, and it came up missing, and somebody, they always said that that's where it went, to these.
What I'm scribbling down is the spelling of names, the ones that I know, because these are going to be transcribed, and people that listen to them may not recognize the names. Well, they have a scrapbook over at the library that Colonel Lance had. And he names some of the people who, like he was talking about Al Gore's, and I can't think who else, drove trucks. Were those Quaker trucks?
Yeah.
Did they have their trucks driving back and forth to town?
Yeah, there was different, but I remember the coal company.
Yeah.
They had ruined the
furniture to throw in a coal truck?
Well, and on top of that, it was just raining, cats and dogs, you know. But there they were, going just one trip after another, just zoom, zoom, zoom.
Where were they going with?
To Greendale.
Whoever
they had relatives or whatever, garages or I don't know where they actually. I think Shanley let them store things too.
Well, of course, they had their whole distilleries full of people and
hospitals
and church services.
Yeah.
And they let them store things. Do you remember the names of any of the people that would have been driving those trucks? Or any of them still around?
I don't. I imagine the Swartz boys would have probably, you might check with one of them. Swartz.
They've always worked for the coal company.
One we call Spitz, which is Anthony.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would have been in on it, and so would his brother. I don't know whether it was Ed.
Well, I know Spitzy.
Spitzy, ask him. It was really something.
And all of this going on in the pouring rain. When did the rain stop?
Shoot, I don't know. I really don't.
You weren't paying much attention anymore at that point. Well, they had Lawrenceburg blocked off the same as they did in Florida.
You wouldn't allow it over in town. The fact of the matter is, after water did come, recede enough that you could get down part way on Center Street, but the water was still in there, in the area, because it was more or less low down and through there. But I found a dead man, and I said, well, look, I've got a home down there. I want to go to see what... Yes!
Hey, Paul?
Yes!
you were telling me about trying to get back down to your house before the water was all the way down.
Well, yeah, and so finally I said, well, I've got, I said, well, you got any identification? I said, yes. So he said, anything that shows that's your address. Well, I don't recall what it was, but anyway, I had something that had the address there. He said, okay, go ahead. So I went down there and called my aunt and talked about something.
What did your wife say when she first saw it?
Well, she didn't get to see it. It was all thrown out of the... we just had bought a new dining room suit, and it was just the walnut veneer, you know what I mean? And it was just... and I tossed it out, and seriously.
That was when all of your family stuff got lost, too, as you tell me. Because your family should be the St. Vincent family that's been here forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Out, my mom. Out on Hogan Creek at one time. Way, way, way back.
No.
I'm talking about like 1820.
Oh, well.
There were Vincents here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've never been able to find out much about who they were, the very first ones.
My father was born and raised down at Cold Springs. You know where
that's Hogan.
Oh, well, then that's it.
Sure, that's South Hogan.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that, really.
So that's South Hogan now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they married, the earliest one that I've ever found was married to a teen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like around 1820 or 23 or so.
Now, Bill Jones' dad, the druggist, the little young Bill, I guess it would have been his grandpa, and his uncles, great uncles, they were all in that same area, and they were somehow related to us. I don't know just exactly.
From out around Cold Springs?
Yeah.
Out
in that area, out in there.
Yeah. Well, you stayed with a sister. What did your folks do? They stayed there too, I guess.
Yeah, they were there too.
What happened when you had to put three or four families into one house?
It was quite a conglomeration. Yeah.
How did you manage sleeping arrangements and that kind of stuff?
Well, I guess I slept on the floor for a while. I had my mother and father, and I had another sister and her husband. Fact of the matter is, at that time, we only had the one sister living in Greendale.
Flo and Joe lived here
on Walnut Street, up over the electric shop, where the shoe repair store is now. Was the shoe repair and Ian Biddle's or Aggie's jewelry store?
Oh, okay.
She was a sister of mine.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Aggie was a sister of mine, and they lived up there. See. So we all...
There used to be some really nice apartments above those.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe there still are. I don't know.
Yeah, they're... the one there on the corner where Spaniels used to live, that's just gone to pot as far as I understand. Bill Pfister owns that now.
He does.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's got any of it rented upstairs. The only thing he's got rented is that downstairs where the exercise salon is and then also where the typewriter... I don't know why he don't fix it up. I guess he figures it's too much expense or whatever. Why he?
You don't know how bad it was.
He says he doesn't realize why he bought it. Really. Mm-hmm.
You don't know how what kind of shape it was.
No.
It seems like I was looking through an old directory, and it looked like everybody that had a business downtown pretty much lived either
upstairs
or just down the street someplace. There were people like
most
lived
all
on
of
High
them lived
Street
upstairs.
That,
over the businesses.
Do that anymore.
Nope. They all live in Greendale.
Well, that was the club that did that.
Yeah, chased them all to Greendale.
I guess an awful lot of people sold out downtown and moved, didn't
they? Yeah.
Well, it would have been come back and find things like what you're talking about finding. It would make you decide to get the heck out from the flood area forever.
But I never did.
No, you like
it. Never did. We've been here 36 years.
Does it come back?
This house went through this house went through the flood. This house, I was talking to Ed Vogelsang, who originally his folks lived here. You know Ed?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Does he live up on Ludlow?
No, he lives out at near the old Homestead School. I can't recall the street that's in there. That's where he lived. He used to run a grocery up on Ludlow.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, his folks lived here, and they were here when the 37th flood hit.
Was that Sylvester?
No, that's a different Vogelsang. Oh. He lived on Vine Street.
Yeah, but I didn't know whether he'd always
lived. No, he had some sisters, I can't recall what the Dickens their names are.
But they were living here during
the flood?
Does it worry you sometimes?
Nope.
Not even in 64 when the water started coming up again?
Earlier than that, I think it was in 45, somewhere around in 45 or something or other. That's after the flood wall was built, 41. The water got up to 70 some feet. And people were moving out at 70 feet and moving back in at 72. Yeah, I guess.
See where it would leave you a little bit leery about flood walls.
Yeah. Now, if these pumps would ever happen to fail, and the water would get up, we'd just probably just float right up out of here. There's
it
no
would
way
come
to
in
keep
from
it.
Underneath.
Yeah, sure. Oh. If it wasn't for these wells or whatever they have driven around the whole entire area, and it's all every drop of rain that falls in here has to be pumped over that daggone. Pumped out of here.
I didn't realize.
If we'd ever have a 10-inch rain or whatever, man, we'd be in trouble. I don't think we'd get it out of here fast enough.
Is that why Center Street goes underwater every time it rains real hard? Because there's just not enough to carry
Well, they don't have enough drainage down there. They just didn't make it. I don't know who engineered that job, but they did a very poor job.
Do you remember when there were wells and cisterns around town? Public wells?
Oh, yeah, there was one right here, right down this loop, right down. One here and one over here on the corner by, the school property now, and there was one out in New Addition.
What's
there.
The New Addition?
Well, that's out there where a Long's Floral shop is, an R&L. That was called New Addition. And then we had Newtown, which is later on, they're progressing up, you see. Now, this is Old Town.
Yeah.
And out there in where Knotty Pine is, that's Germantown.
Yeah.
That's where all the German settled. And then down on the West High Street, that was called Poketown.
Why?
I don't know why.
I didn't know that.
Now, it was interesting. I wish you could have been over here sometime or other when they were digging this. It's a big hole down here where the storm sort of comes through, and it's more or less a collector stave basin or whatever. I wish you could have seen it when they were digging that down in there, where the different street levels were and how it was surfaced.
This was all built up through here. All of these streets were.
Absolutely. Across the street over there, where Doc Ferry used to live, well, it's right street over there. In their basement down there is every room in the basement has a fireplace in it. That was the first floor at that time. See,
yeah.
And as the rivers came up, then things got they just kept coming up with it.
Well, it was if you go back through the council minutes.
Yeah.
Well, some of them don't exist anymore, but the old newspapers.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to pass an ordinance to every street that they raised.
Yeah.
They'd
mm-hmm.
pass an ordinance and they'd let it out on bids
yeah.
and they'd haul. Raise
it
up. They had what they called a city dirt lot, and I'm not really sure where that was, but that's where they got the dirt to raise all the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the people that lived along them complained because they didn't want them.
Well,
they took their front right out of their house. You know, they built right up there.
Well, you see, I never could understand why they didn't fill in this area from here, from Center Street on up, and make it like it is from Center Street on south. Why they didn't level it all up like that, but through here would have made it a lot nicer, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we got this drop-off in this hole and dipping through here, see.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't.
I don't know why they never did that.
Well, these public wells, you wouldn't have used them because there was a city water system by then, wasn't there?
No, there was. That's when they. Well, they took them out as soon as they got the water system
in. Did they?
Yeah, they took them out. It was just beggars, city pumps or whatever. I mean,
you didn't have a pump in your.
You just carried your water to.
You
no.
Had,
well, you, if you had a, you had a cistern.
Yeah.
You had a cistern pump and you had the water that way now. But that's where they got their water.
And everybody had that.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I heard some discussion not too long ago someplace. Somebody was. They don't have any map that shows where all those old cisterns were.
They don't?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
They, every once in a while somebody falls, not falls in, but
yeah.
They're digging and they come onto one.
Well, there was one right down here, right this side of that house that's just right on the street, right on the sidewalk. There was one sitting right there, and then there was one right across over here on the other side. I don't know why they had them two so close. Right there, I know where, you know, Jurgers used to live.
How far did you want to walk to get your dishwater?
Jurgers, you know where Jurgers used to live? There used to be one there. Well, it, like I say, the schools tore all those houses
yeah.
out of there. Yeah, they were stationed all around town.
Yeah. Did you ever see that poem about the Shipping Street pump?
No.
It was published in the newspaper. If I ever find a copy
yeah,
of it, I'll make
yeah,
one for you.
Okay.
Because everybody on Shipping Street had big families.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they got
yeah,
the flame in the
yeah,
water.
Water, yeah, uh-huh. Right.
Somebody wrote a poem about
yeah,
the Shipping Street
Shipping
pump.
Street pump. Boy, there was some lot of nice families lived on that street. A lot of nice families.
Of course, that street's just pretty well gone.
Oh, yeah.
Just, what, half a dozen
yeah,
houses?
Yeah, but not more than that.
Do you remember when the old cemetery was still there down the end of High Street?
Mm-mm.
It's under the levee now.
No. On High Street? No,
High
I don't
Street,
recall.
The it. Very original cemetery for Lawrenceburg was down there.
Oh, I'll be darned. I don't remember that.
And I've had a couple of people tell
yeah.
me they vaguely remember
yeah.
some old tombstones down there.
No, I don't.
But I think when the first levee...
Remember the old brickyard was over the railroad tracks down there. They made Mitchell. Mitchell Brick, I believe it was.
Where was that?
Well, it's right over the bank there from west, east... Or West High Street.
Over the bank. It was down
yeah,
on the river.
Over
bank.
No, it was over towards I&M.
Oh. Over the levee.
Yeah, over the levee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, High Street went further at one time, didn't it? I mean, didn't the levee just kind of cut that off the same as
no.
it did Canal Street?
No, I don't think so.
That was all.
When they put the flood wall in, they might have taken a house or so out
yeah.
there to make the you know, to get the base for it. But I don't think they're
Well, I guess there was an old levee, though, down at that end.
Sure,
well,
it was
one that broke.
Just the railroad track was the levee. You see where the levee, that formed the...
Well, that was it, then. Anything on the far end of High Street was outside the levee anyway.
The railroad track went to Aurora.
Yeah.
See, and it was a levee all over there, and then when they pieced it, and they made a levee from there over to the railroad track, the B&O, whatever it was. See, and that was it. See.
Hmm.
My father
something.
used to work on that. They used to take horses at that time, you know.
Well, in those days, you
haul
could work off your taxes.
Yeah, we hauled the dirt, you know, with horses.
What did your dad do besides?
He was a farmer.
Just a farmer?
Just a farmer. And we were in a dairy, so... Milk for nickel a quart.
Did you have a route? Or
yeah, I had six customers of my own and sold a nickel a quart. I'd get a quarter a week for delivering each from each one of them. Man, I was a rich kid in those days. I'd have a dollar and a half a week.
My
know.
Dad raised chickens and sold.
Yeah.
He lived in town,
yeah.
not here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He used to take bags around and cut them to the neighbors for his pocket money. Kids can't do things like that today.
No. Gosh, no.
What do you think? Life was better then or worse?
Back then? Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. You had more. You never had anything, any crime. There wasn't any to speak of. We had drunks, you know what I mean? But outside of that, there wasn't any crime to speak of. No stealing or no breaking or entering or like that.
People were more equal or something.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Everybody was about the same,
yeah.
So there wasn't much point in stealing.
And they just respected one another. That's all I can say.
What do you suppose they respected?
I really don't.
I wish you could tell me.
Yeah, I do. I wish.
You went to the old school?
Yeah.
Was that, I don't remember, was that the high school and grade school all in the same building?
Yeah, all in the same building.
And then the gym was built separate?
Yeah, this gym was the old, they bought it from a tabernacle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it reassembled it up here. Well, I guess it would be right across from you know anybody who lives up there, Wilma Fiercek, you know where she lived? Or it's make dab across the street from her, on the corner of Margaret and Short.
I thought that was built on the spot to be a gym. It wasn't.
It was brought in there. They reassembled it. You might check that out with it, but I'm sure that that's what it was. They reassembled that. They tore it down there on West Center Street and put it together over there. It was very small.
Okay,
very small.
Most gyms were.
Yeah.
Did you play basketball when they played outdoors part of the time?
Nah, I never. Never. I more or less was working. You know, started when I was 14. You know, just in the grocery business all that time.
All that time, you must have enjoyed it.
I did. I could add, you know, maybe better jobs, but what they, if you like a job, you stick with it.
That's what you should do. Part of the problem.
I had two jobs in my life, and that was one with Kroger and one with Ann Payne. I managed a Kroger store when I was 18.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, you made an awful lot of friends. Everybody knows Paul Vincent.
Yeah. But I tell you, my greatest thrill or whatever is when they go down the street and the little kids holler at me, you know, that's what tickles me. And I will. I mentioned it to some people yesterday. Yeah. I said I was in the house here one day, and Alice was in the kitchen doing something, and knock on the door, and this little boy, Josh, I can't recall what his last name was. He said, "Would you tell that man to come on out and play with me?"
That's wonderful.
Yeah, something.
So you're still doing for your community?
Yeah, I'm trying to. Had a brother, that's really something.
Can you think of anything I've forgotten to ask? Anything that you'd like to say about the flood or early days in Lawrenceburg? Or?
I don't know. I'll probably think of something later on, but.
Well, if you do, I'll come back and we'll do it again.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, Chris. I enjoyed it.
I did too.